Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our host, Apostle Etta Banks, and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning. God bless each and every one of you all. It is so good to be on again. I'm alive. Another Saturday. Thank you for taking the time out of your Saturday morning to be on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. This is Tabika Garnes, and I am your host for the day. And Apostle Banks sends her love. She will not be on because she will be at the funeral for her nephew. So please keep them in prayer, because this was very hard for them. But we know that God is greater, and God is still great even in death that we don't understand or was not expecting. God is still greater than anything that we can ever face, come up against, or endure. So to God be the glory for all that he has done. Thank each and every one of you again that join us every Saturday just to come support, come to just share your thoughts, you know, give some advice, share your testimony. However you participate in Heart to Heart, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We don't take your presence here lightly. And we know that God has chosen us. This is his platform, and he chose us as his vessels to share. And so we just thank him for choosing us. We thank him for those of you that share Heart to Heart with others. We thank you for those of you that share your heart with Heart to Heart. We thank God for you and your life and your family. And this is, you know, another day, another Saturday that we get to see what God is going to do in us and through us, or in our loved ones, and just be excited that you are alive. No matter what's going on in your life, be excited that you are alive, because that means that you have another chance to do what God has called you to do. And so with that, I am going to go into prayer so that we can get started with what I want to share on this morning with you. So Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for another day. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for your love, your joy, your peace, your patience. I thank you, Lord, for who you created and called us to be. I thank you, Father, that no matter what we face, Lord, that you are with us. Just like David had to face that giant, and he had no doubt that he was going to beat that giant, Lord God. There was no fear in his heart because he trusted in you, and he knew that you already gave him the tools to succeed. So let that be the same way for us. Let us embrace God's truth. Lord, we embrace your truth. We embrace your love. We embrace who you are. We embrace who you called us to be. We shall not be afraid of things that try to stand in our way, or obstacles that are put in our way to cause us to fall, or cause us to lose focus, or cause us to give up, or cause us to question ourselves, or cause us to live in fear. Whatever it is that the enemy has erected against you, it shall fall in the name of Jesus. We shall render it null and void in the name of Jesus. We are winners. We are victorious because God is our Father, and he has given us that power. He has given us the authority. He has given us the dominion. So let our eyes be open to see. Let our ears be open to hear what God is doing in our lives in this season and in those around us. Let us be able to give a word of hope or encouragement to those that we love, or even those that we don't know, Lord God. Hallelujah. Help us, Father, even if it's a word that will cause a person to do introspection, not to not to hurt them, not to cause them to fall or cause them to be disappointed or discouraged, but a word that would help them grow, even if it's uncomfortable. Those things, God, that you have told us to say to people, but because it was uncomfortable to us, because we were afraid of how the person was going to receive it, we didn't say it. God, forgive us in the name of Jesus, because we don't know how that person's life may have turned around if we did what you told us to do. So, Father, we ask for forgiveness right now in the name of Jesus, oh God, so that when you tell us to do something, when you tell us to say something, we shall say it, we shall do it. We shall not be afraid of men and their faces and what they think and how they're going to feel about us, as long as we are pleasing you, Father God, as long as we are being obedient to you, Lord, that is all that matters. So, Lord, have your way on this line. Have your way in the lives of your people. Let your spirit flow through the airways in the name of Jesus. Touch the hearts of those that are listening. Touch the hearts of those that will come back and listen to the show and the many other recorded shows that are here on Heart to Heart or Blog Talk Radio. Father, we thank you. Father, we love you. Father, we adore you. Father, we need you. Hallelujah. We need you, Lord God. In this very dark world, we need you. We need your light to shine through us, Father God. We need your light so that people can see that they are loved and that they are valued and that you love them and that you see them and that you care for them and that you are not mad at them and that you don't hate them and them they feeling like they're not worthy because of the things that they've done. Father, cause your people's hearts to change in the name of Jesus. Father, we say thank you. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord God. Thank you for all that you are doing, even the things that we don't see, Lord God, even the things that we don't understand. Father, thank you for what you are doing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, just continue to do what you are doing. God, even when we reject your plan, Father, you are still with us and you're ready to receive us back when we do decide to accept your plan. Thank you for being the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And thank you for the unconditional love that you extend to each and every one of us every day. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, again, welcome to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And today, I'm going to focus on the fact that you are valued. You are valued. No matter how you feel, you are valued. No matter what your life looks like, at this moment, you are valued. No matter how you grew up, no matter if your parents didn't value you or show you love or take care of you the way that parents were supposed to do, know that you are valued. No matter if your children didn't love you the way they were supposed to, or your spouse did not, whomever that is in your life that did not value you or love you the way that God loves you, you are valued. So just keep telling yourself that you are valued. Don't allow situations and circumstances to tell you that you aren't valued. So, again, no matter how you feel, you are valued. And I'm going to read Psalm 139, 1 through 10, and then 13 through 16. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it, Lord. You have encircled me. You have placed your hand on me. This wondrous knowledge is beyond me. It is lofty. I am unable to reach it. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I fly on the wings of the dawn and settle down on the western horizon, even there your hand will lead me. Your right hand will hold on to me. Verse 13, for it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. Amen. So that is telling us that God is with us wherever we go. Wherever we go, he is with us. And so when we hold on to that truth, sometimes we got to walk through some places. Sometimes we got to be in some uncomfortable situations, but we remember that God is with us. He's right next to us. He's holding our hand. You know, whatever it is, however you picture him with you in your life, he is there. And a lot of times we don't want him to be where we are, because sometimes, you know, we're doing some things that we shouldn't be doing, and we don't want God to see what we're doing. But let me just tell you that he sees all, and he knows all. So you trying to hide from God does not work. You can hide from man, but you can never hide from God. And so many of us try to do that. We try to hide from God. We try to run from God like he does not know where we are, or like he can't see where we are, or he doesn't know what we're doing at that moment. He knows everything about us at all times. Where if your mom is at work and you are at school, and you tell her you are at school, she has to believe that you are at school, because she's not able to be there because she's at work. So she can't be in multiple places at one time. But God can. And so when we feel like we are in something all by ourselves and nobody understands and nobody sees us, know that God is there with you. And so we have to learn to value ourselves and to value others the way that God does. And sometimes it's hard to value others because of things that they've done to us, the offenses, the hurts, the betrayals. Sometimes it's hard to value other people because we focus on what the person has actually done to us. And so it's hard to grasp, feel, you know, wanting to be in the presence of that person after the betrayal, the hurt, and the offense. Or let's just say, for instance, somebody hurt your loved one or even killed your loved one. What do we do with that? How do we still value this person after they've committed such a tragic, such a tragedy against you and your family? And so let's look at a situation where back in 2012, let's look at the situation with Trayvon Martin. He was an unarmed 17-year-old boy that lived in Florida. And remember the neighborhood watch captain. His name was George Zimmerman. And Trayvon Martin, who was black, he was walking home, and George Zimmerman thought he looked suspicious, that I guess because of the neighborhood he was in, I guess George Zimmerman probably felt that this little black boy did not belong in the neighborhood. So instead of him asking questions or, you know, approaching him cordially, that's not what happened. It was the suspicion. The suspicion made him accuse this young man. and a fight ensued. And once Trayvon Martin was getting the best of George Zimmerman, then George Zimmerman shot and killed the teen. And then he claimed self-defense when he was the one who started the whole thing because of suspicion. And then 2 years later, George Zimmerman was acquitted of all charges in Trayvon's death. Can you imagine how his parents felt? And the moment that they got the call about their son, who I'm sure that was not on their mind when they got this call, and wherever the son was coming from, the store, a friend's house, wherever he was coming from, his parents thought that their son would be returning home. So when they get this call that not only was their son shot, he also passed away. Can you imagine how they felt? I'm sure they were confused. I'm sure they were trying to figure out why, the how. And because they didn't think that day when he left to go to the store, that would be the last day that they were going to see their son alive. And so can you think about all the things they probably wish they should have said that day? Or hopefully they didn't have a disagreement with their son before he left to go to the store, because then that's guilt, you know, for the parents, because they're feeling like, I should have said I love him. I love you. I should have said this. I should have said that. So can you just imagine as parents how they felt? And then for this man to be acquitted of all charges, then that was another blow. So can you imagine how they still had to find value in this man who took their son away from them and from Trayvon Martin's death, Black Lives Matter was birthed. And since then, we've seen countless other young black people, and some not always young, but we've seen countless number of black males, and then there are some females that were murdered by people or police officers. Many don't value black lives. And the thing is, you wonder to yourself, why as a black female or male am I not valued by others? Why am I not valued by society? Or why am I not valued by people who claim, you know, that they love me? And us as black people have been through so much, you know, starting with slavery. Slavery in itself was a lot for those that experienced it. And I'm sure in their minds, it was the why. Why am I being treated this way? Because of the color of my skin. I haven't done anything to these people. You know, I'm sure there was a lot of confusion during slavery, because it's like, what did we do to get here? And why is it that it's us? Why is it that they chose us to devalue? And so there we have it. And then that slave mentality then went from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. And even up to today, even though slavery is no longer in operation, we still feel devalued by certain ethnic groups. But do know that black lives are valuable because God says so. And we have been devalued in far too many circles, but God values all he has created. He always has, and he always will. So never let any other group make you feel like you are less than or that you're not worthy to be in their presence. Or, you know, many of us have experienced racism even in today's time. Some of us experienced racism yesterday. And even in that, you ask yourself, you know, what did I do to these people? Like, why do they still treat us this way? And it's like, you know, out of all other ethnicities and the cultures, Black people still, for some reason, get treated as if we are the plague or, you know, and it does hurt. But then how do you value those people as well? How do you value those people that devalue you? Do you treat them the same way that they're treating you? Are you mean to them? Or are you still loving them with the love of God? And so when we look at valuing one another, no matter what a situation has come about, are you valuing each other? Do you value the white man who called you a bad name? Do you value, you know, your mom, your father, your siblings, your husband, your wife when you've had disagreements? Do you still value them as a person? And so recently where there was another young Black guy whom the police killed, I think I want to say in Georgia, and he was killed by Black officers, I believe. So it's like now it was the white officers that were murdering, you know, our Black men, and now it's like the Black police officers are murdering our Black men. Why don't we feel valued? But do know that God values all of us. So when David wrote Psalm 139, he sought to express his gratitude that God not only made him, but that God valued him. So, you know, even throughout the psalm, David referred to God as Lord in small capital letters. In Hebrew, Lord is the name Yahweh, God's personal holy name. And using the personal name for God throughout this psalm, David was recognizing that the one who knew him was personal to him too. David said the Lord had searched him and known him. The idea of search in this passage means to thoroughly examine. When we give something a thorough examination, we know everything there is to know about the object inside and out. God knew everything there was to know about David, and it didn't scare David. Instead, David recognized the value he had in the eyes of God. So I'm going to replace David's name with my name. God knew everything there was to know about Tabika, and it didn't scare Tabika. Instead, Tabika recognized the value he had in, I'm sorry, she, instead, Tabika recognized the value she had in the eyes of God. And so I'm going to replace David's name with my name because the Lord searched me. He searched me. He thoroughly examined me. He know there is everything to know about me. And he knows how I'm going to react to a certain situation before I actually react. He knows how I'm going to still love the person that hurt me. He knows how I may say something that I didn't mean to say at that moment. He knows that I was going to be afraid to say whatever it was that he told me to say to a person. He knows everything about me. So because he knows everything about me and then he chooses me to do a particular thing, I should already have trust in whatever it is that he has chosen me to do, because why? He has already examined me. He has already approved me. So when he chose me, when he called me to do it, it should be a yes. Even if I'm afraid in that moment, it should be yes. Why? Because he knows me. He knew I could do it. He knew I could accomplish the very thing that he told me to do. So I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to question him when he calls me or chooses me or shows me something that he wants to then share with the world. I shouldn't have to compare myself or feel unworthy of this thing that God has called me to do, because he has already searched me. He has already examined me. And so with that, I say, yes, Lord, and I do what he has called me to do. He has strengthened me to do it. He has guided. He is guiding my way. He is showing me the path. He is shining his light upon that path in the way that he wants me to go. So my answer should be, yes, Lord. Even if you are afraid, tell him, Lord, yes, I am afraid. I am scared, but I'm saying yes. And he will take away that fear that we have when we do certain things where we're not sure of ourselves. And that's another thing. We're not really sure of ourselves. And so then we begin to question what God has called us to do, because we're just not, we examine ourselves, but we examine ourselves wrong. Sometimes we examine ourselves off of things that the enemy has said, off of things that people that have labeled us or lied to us about. That is what we examine ourselves by, and then we say, I'm unworthy. I can't do this. I can't speak like Barack Obama. I can't recite that poetry, like the other people do so eloquently. I can't do it, Lord. But he has already examined you. He has already approved you. So just go forth. So the idea of no is much deeper than our modern day language expresses. Today we think of knowing as having a handful of quick facts about someone or something. The Hebrew word, though, refers to observation, care, and recognition. God knew David thoroughly because he not only made him, but he cared about him. Usually, the more intimately acquainted we are with someone, the more deeply we care about the person. God is intimately acquainted with the most finite details of each of the 8 billion people on the earth. He made us, and therefore our lives are sacred. He knows and values us. So the more time we spend with him, the more time we become acquainted with him, the more time, and doing that then begins to assure us that we are the one that can do whatever it is that he has told us to do. A lot of times God has even given us visions and glimpses of certain things. And even in that, we're still afraid. Even in that, we still question, well, how am I going to get that done? And sometimes we're trying to see the whole picture at one time when God has only given us pieces, because he wants us to first do the first piece that he gave us. Sometimes it's like putting a puzzle together. We dump the puzzle out. We have all these different pieces, and sometimes all those different pieces can become overwhelming because you're saying in your mind, I got to make all these puzzle pieces fit, and all the pieces look different, and this little piece has to fit and this little hole, and it has to be turned a certain way. And so sometimes when you have all the pieces at one time, you get overwhelmed. And God, if that's you, then God's not going to show you, not going to give you all the pieces at one time. He's going to give you a piece here. And when you get that piece, he's going to give you another piece, and then you can clearly see where that piece goes. And then once that is that, those two pieces are jointly fit together, he's going to give you another piece, and then another piece. And so don't be discouraged when God only gives you one piece at a time. because he knows you. He already examined you. He knew you were going to be overwhelmed with too many pieces. And so that's why you get what you get. But somebody else, he knows that that person is able to be fine with all the pieces at one time and can put the puzzle together all at one time. And guess what? That doesn't make that person any better than you. That doesn't mean that God loves that person more than he loves you, or he cares more about that person than he does you. He just examines each and every one of us, and he knows what we can carry and what we can't. He knows what we'll be discouraged about and what some won't. He knows what will disappoint us and won't disappoint others. He knows the load that we can carry. And when we become okay with that, you'll see that your life and the things that you experience may just seem a little bit easier, because now you understand who God created you to be. David listed things God knew about him, including when he sat down and stood up. God understood his thoughts from afar. When David traveled, God saw it, just as he saw David when he rested. The Lord knew these things about David because he not only cared about him, but he cared for him. Tabitha listed things God knew about her, including when she sat down and stood up. God understood her thoughts from afar. When Tabitha traveled, God saw it, just as he saw Tabitha when she rested. The Lord knew these things about Tabitha because he not only cared about her, but he cared for her. So whenever we read, and Apostle Banks has told us this before, that sometimes when we read the Bible, we have to put ourselves in the place of David, or in the place of Saul, or in the place of Peter. Like, we have to put our names in that place because we still fit. When God has said something about David, you can put your name there. Because why? Because we still fit in this puzzle, even though the Bible was written way back when. We still fit there because, you know, God feels the same way about us. He loved us. He loved us then, and he loves us now. And so we have to embrace that and stop looking at what our past was, because that's why it's called the past, because it's gone. It was once a thing, and it still bothers us. It still grows up with us because we don't let it go. And your past is what the things that you experienced. Some of it was no fault of yours. Some of it was your fault. But God still values you. God still has need for you. God still wants to use you. And when we think about, you know, our past and the things that we have gone through, some of us may be like, there is no way that God will want me to be a pastor, or God will want me to be an evangelist or a teacher or a prophet or an apostle, you know. But see, that's the thing. You're looking at it from a natural view. God isn't even taking all that into consideration when he calls you to do something. He's not sitting there like we would. Well, Tabitha used to be a prostitute, you know. Sorry, y'all, not in real life. I'm just using this as an example. I wasn't a prostitute in real life. It's just an example, disclaimer. He's not sitting there like, you know, she used to be a prostitute, and I can't use her to be an evangelist or a pastor. There's no way. Do you know how many people would remember her from when she was prostituting? And see, that's the thing. Those are the people that God will call and use, because if people can see that God changed that person, there's hope. There is encouragement for somebody else. So don't discount yourself because of your past. Don't discount or discredit who you are because of your past. Just trust that God knows what he's doing. He cannot and will not make a mistake with your life. He just won't. Your life has already been planned
we just don't go along with the plan. So you're listening to Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. I'm Tavika Garnes. If you have anything that you want to say or share, please press 1 on your keypad, on your phone, and I will unmute you so that you may share. But I really, really, really hope that this is, you know, blessing someone. I know that it's blessing me tremendously, especially when I add my name where David's name is. It is blessing me tremendously right now. It is doing something to my heart, just a reassurance that God values me even through the things that I've done or the things that I've said or the things that I didn't do and the things that I didn't say. I know that God still values me. So God was aware of all of David's ways. Wherever David went and whatever David did, God saw it. As a loving father, God knew everything to know about David. Moreover, God himself had encircled him. This gives an image of surrounding someone like a fortress. A fortress protects what it encircles. God encircled David because he was significant to God. His life was important to God. Not only did God surround David for protection, but he placed his hand on him. This is a sign of comfort and protection because it is a sign of God's control. And before I go any further, let me just give credit to the author of what I am reading. I am reading from a Bible study book called You, and the authors are Ashley Allen and Darshell Garner. Just want to give them credit because they are the authors of this article that I am reading. And I value the information that they shared in this book. So David's response to what God knew was not dread. He had nothing to hide from God. He responded to God with awe and declared, "This wondrous knowledge is beyond me. It is lofty. I am unable to reach it." Our response to how much God knows and values us should be the same. So, again, you are valued. You are valued no matter how you feel right now. You are valued. And most of all, if you are not valued by people, you are valued by God. And that is all that matters. And you're going to find in your lifetime that you are not valued by certain people. And you have to be okay with that. And you also can't decide to be mean to those people or vindictive against those people because they treat you like that. Just know that you are valued by the Most High, the one that is above all of that. So it doesn't matter if man doesn't value you. Does it hurt? Yes, it does hurt when you're not valued, especially when you give so much of yourself and people don't value you as a person. And sometimes even in that, we have to be careful that we aren't people pleasing. We should be pleasing unto the Father. We should be pleasing him first and foremost. That is what will make us happy, and it won't drain us trying to please God, because he is one. We trying to please many different people with many different personalities and many different wants and many different things that they care about, that can be overwhelming and draining. But trying to please the Creator is the best thing you could ever do, because guess what? He values you regardless. You know, he values you as a person regardless. Even when you're unlovable, even when you're having a bad day, even when, you know, something happened and you don't understand it, and, you know, many of us get mad at God because he didn't give us what we asked for, or he didn't answer our prayer and quick enough, or the way that we wanted him to answer it. Regardless of all of that, he still values us. He still loves us. He still cares about us. He still wants us to be who he called us to be, you know. And so that's a very good place to be in, a very good place to be in. God is with all of us. And David declared he could not get away from God's presence. How many people try to run and hide from God, as I said earlier? He asked two rhetorical questions. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? David then provided the obvious answer while also introducing an important theological truth. If David went to heaven, God is there. If he went to Sheol to make his bed, God is also there. Sheol was referred to in the Old Testament as the place where the dead went after their lives on earth ended. God does not dwell in Sheol, but his presence is there in the judicial sense. God is aware of who is in Sheol, and his judgment is there. As Job noted, Sheol is naked before God. If David were to fly on the wings of the dawn, the east where the sun rises, or settled at the western limits where the sun sets, even there God's hand would lead him and hold on to him. The word picture we get is of an open expanse without anchors or restrictions, but God's hands are still there. Wherever we go, God is with us because life is sacred. The one who created us is never far away. So we may have distant relatives. Our family may have written us off. We, even at work, we may not have someone at work that, you know, we trust or that we feel close to. But know that the one who created us is never far away. Know that despite what people do to us, that he loves us. And again, that he values us. And so if you keep that in your heart, keep that in your heart, knowing that God values me in spite of how I feel when I wake up in the morning, in spite of what person offended me, what person discredited me, you know, what person lied on me, what person betrayed me, God still values me. And know that your life is valuable to God. Know that before you were even formed in your mother's womb, there was already a plan for your life. Now, this week, you know, next week, think about what God has done for you. Think about the things that he's told you to do or he's shown you, you know, what to do. Think about those things. Kind of get like a vision of those things. Write it down. Brainstorm on some of those things, and you'll see who God has called you to be. And a lot of times the enemy is going to stand in the way of that. Like he's going to like throw some things in there to try to blind you or try to cause you to go deaf, that you can't hear what God is saying. That's why it's always good to write things down. Your encounters at work, your encounters with your family, your encounters at church, you know, begin to write those things down, because many a times when we are overwhelmed or we are going through something, we forget things. Like when you get that prophetic word, when the prophets speak and you get a prophetic word, if you don't write that thing down and you try to go back, if it's not recorded, and you try to go back and write it down maybe like an hour later, a lot of the stuff you don't even remember what was said. That's why it's good that when you're getting a prophetic word, to have somebody writing it down or recording it on your phone, something, because we often have to go back and listen to what God spoke through the prophets. I do have some of mine recorded, and I go back and I listen, because sometimes you need reminders, because it is the way the enemy tries to beat up on us. He never wants us to know that we are valued by God, and he never wants us to know how great we are. He doesn't want us to know these things, and so he can bombard us with a whole bunch of stuff. And somewhere in that, we'll begin to forget powerful and how great we are, we'll forget prophetic words that the Lord spoke over our lives. We'll forget those things because we're so overloaded with the things that are going on in our lives at that moment. But one thing that does stand and will always remain the same is that God created all of us, and he values all of us. God is omniscient, he's omnipresent and omnipotent, and he's with us wherever we go. He knows everything about us. He knows everything we're going to do. He knows everything that we aren't going to do. And so because he knows all those things and because he created you, you should already know that you're powerful because of who created you. You should already know that you can do great and mighty things because of who created you. Yes, you came out of your mother's womb, but that was the help from the Creator that took place. Is the Creator. He is the Creator. No matter who your parents were, if they weren't good parents, if they were good parents, sometimes, you know, as parents, we don't give our children all the tools that we need, that they need, because it's why there's no handbook. There's no manual that comes, you know, when you get furniture and you have the little manual that tells you how to put it together. That's not what we get when we have children, but what we do have is the Bible. And if we were to follow the Bible, that is basically what we need to give and train our children. So, again, remember that you are loved and that you are valued. No matter how you feel, you are valued. So that's all I have for today. I thank you all again for joining. I hope this really blessed somebody. And if it did, please share with someone else. And even if it didn't bless you, please share it with somebody else, because you just never know that person who may come, who you may see every day, or that you may see in a grocery store, or you may see at work, or you may see at church. You just never know that behind that smile, they may not feel valued, and they may not feel that God values them either. So no matter how hard it may be, don't forget to value your brothers and your sisters, because God values them. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much again. Join us back here next Saturday for Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And I'm hoping, praying that each and every one of y'all will have an awesome weekend, and we shall meet here again next week. God bless you, and take care.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.